Welcome to People Power and Politics. I am your host, Pearl Phillip. Our guest is the 37th Manhattan District Attorney, the Honorable Alvin Bragg, and Manhattan's first Black District Attorney. A son of Central Harlem, a former state and federal prosecutor, D.A. Bragg has spent more than two decades standing up to the powerful and fighting to get justice to make our communities safer and our criminal justice system fairer. Welcome, sir. It is such an honor and privilege to have you here with us.
The honor is all mine. Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. So you campaign on the slogan Justice for All, and a visit to your website says one standard of justice for all. You are heading the second largest district attorney's office in the country. What is your vision for Manhattan's DA office?
So as you said, we talk about one standard of justice and justice for all. I would start with, you know, these first 9 months focusing on gun violence, which people say, oh, is that a racial justice issue? Is that a social justice issue? We know in Manhattan, the effects of our gun violence are born in our communities. And so we've used an all of the above approach to get guns off our streets, to hold accountable people who've been trafficking guns into Manhattan from other parts of the country, and equally as important, funding programs that work with youth at risk for gun violence so we can prevent these incidents from happening in the first place. So when we talk about justice for all, that's accountability in our communities. We all need and deserve safety and want it. But also that means investing in our communities for prevention in the first place. I say the best case I can bring is the one I don't have to, because we prevented the violence from ever happening.
Okay, great. So speaking about gun violence, to say that gun violence is an increasing concern is a huge understatement. And you have spoken about being held at gunpoint for the first time, and before turning 21, a gun being pointed at you six times, three by NYPD officers, unconstitutional stops. And you have said that a top priority is driving down gun violence, taking action, not through enforcement, but critically prevention. Can you explain?
Certainly. So thoughts about the system are born from, you know, my time, as you mentioned, as a federal and state prosecutor, but also from, you know, early life experiences. And so it wasn't six, I was a little older, I was about 15, 16 the first time. But yes, having had a gun pointed at me, having been shot at, and then knowing that we need that kind of accountability for if we can't have that happening on our streets. But as you also said, the sort of prevention work that we've been doing. So I'll give you an example of sort of what that looks like in practice. You know, we were investigating a significant matter. It came to the conclusion when we were done with it that there was a number of people who there was no evidence to charge for crime, but you could just see from all of the indicia they were close to the fire, so to speak. And so we took a, you know, I think somewhat unusual step for law enforcement. We reached out to some of our community partners and we said, these people need to be on your radar screen for services. And if not, they'll end up being in a case we do in 2 years from now. And so we're trying to think creatively about how we can use all the tools in our toolkit to get safety and fairness and justice for all.
Okay, and I know that you started a new project, the Criminal Justice Investment Initiative.
Yeah, so that is a initiative that you know predates me. It's done a lot of good work. I want to give credit where credit is due. We have run with it. You know, when I talk about investing in our communities, it's through that CJII. We had a event, was I think maybe one of the most uplifting events I've been a part of since being a district attorney, where we awarded 10 grants to 10 different community-based groups. You know, we're talking about groups led by clergy, mentors, coaches, doing great work impacting not just our youth, but our youth that are really at risk for gun violence. We were in a gymnasium together on the Lower East Side, and I had the privilege of hearing each of them come up and say what they're going to do with the funding. And a couple of the groups had their young people with them. We got to hear from the young people. You know, so we're talking about projects like our young people being paid because we want to value their time. We know the efficacy of kind of summer youth jobs. And so being paid to take a spot where there's been gun violence and turned it into, for example, a community garden or a community mural. It's research-based. We know that the data shows that that can drive violence down. It's directly engaging with our youth. We had a couple of people who sent to talk on behalf of the program, people who were graduates of the program. So we've seen the way our youth can respond to people who've had similar challenges that have emerged on the other side of it. So that's what we're using that money to invest in. I think we also are looking down the road to do some investments in mental health, because I think that's a very significant issue that we need to be focusing on.
It is. And talking about issues to focus on, let's talk about immigration fraud. We know that the Trump administration has demonized immigrants. We see the cruelty of Texas Governor Abbott busing immigrants to New York and other states. And immigrants are desperate for legalization, trying to feed their families and survive. As a result, immigrants are preyed on by criminals who steal from them through various schemes. And I know that recently you announced the sentencing of a New York-based immigration attorney who, you know, was practicing law without a license, and he had this 10-year green card scam. Can you talk about that?
Sure. You know, he was sentenced to 1 to 3 years incarceration. He got about $145,000 in fees out of this scam. I even hesitate to call them fees. He got $145,000 that he took. To me, you know, these types of crimes where someone is preying on other people who are, you know, seeking help, seeking to navigate our often complicated immigration system where you have another governor who is busing people here. So it's the backdrop of that kind of conduct, the way we dehumanize. It's that kind of conduct that sets the backdrop for people to step in and exploit, right? Someone who can then go to and say they know someone is struggling for answers, and they know someone is struggling to wants to, you know, for example, get a green card, and they exploit that. This was a recent example of a case that we did in the DA's office in Manhattan. For me, you mentioned the Trump administration. You know, it traces back to when I was before this job. I was at the New York State Attorney General's office as a chief deputy, and we did a number of cases, labor cases and immigration cases. The Trump administration, that environment, you know, created opportunities for people who wanted to do fraud and made people, gave them a sense of they needed answers. This is the sort of latest example in my career of doing it. It's something that we're invested in doing more of in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office.
Okay. So speaking about investing, how exactly does your office protect immigrants from fraud?
So, you know, in a number of ways. I think doing a case like the one we were just talking about and talking about it here with you, we need people to know about it in a couple of ways. We need people who are thinking about engaging in that kind of fraud to know that we will hold them accountable and that there are penalties for that kind of conduct. And then we also need people who may be listening now and may say, oh, you know, something like that happened to me. You know, I had an odd feeling that wasn't right, to call us, to reach out. We have a unit that is focused on these issues. I'll give you the hotline number if that's okay. 212-335-3600. And so we are available to the public, follow up, investigate. You know, that's our sort of primary way. We also do outreach, and we go and meet with community groups. Because, again, the same thing as I mentioned with guns. We're going to hold people accountable who engage in conduct, but we really want to prevent it. So we will go out to groups and make presentations about, you know, kind of indicators of fraud so that hopefully we can stop it before it happens.
And based on your experience, what are some of the red flags that immigrants, you know, should be aware of?
Well, as a general matter, in the fraud space, I would say, if something seems too good to be true, it probably is. This isn't necessarily legal advice. Maybe it's life advice. Trust your gut. And if you've got a question, that's what we're here for. I've got the hotline. And what's the worst thing that could happen if, you know, your gut was wrong? You would have, you know, in the old days, I guess we would have said you'd have wasted a quarter. That's what we're here for, to help folks navigate. So I'd say trust their gut. If something doesn't seem right, if someone's asking for money up front, And they haven't performed a service. Their registration databases, so in this latest example, the person was not registered to practice law, the New York State court system has a database. You can punch someone's name in. You can see if they're admitted. So those are those kind of things, and we can help people walk through that if they want to call the hotline.
And they should have no fear of their immigration status to come to your office.
1,000% correct. We're not going to ask about that. We are here to serve all New Yorkers.
Okay, great.
All New Yorkers.
And can you please repeat that hotline number?
Sure. I'm going to repeat that. I'm glad you're giving me an opportunity to. I hope someone is listening will call. 212-335-3600.
Thank you. And another issue out there is worker protection. We know workers, especially non-union workers, are always vulnerable where safety and wage theft are concerned. And recently you indicted Samco Electrical Corp, who, had a $1.7 million theft and bribery scheme going on.
In very important work. The first thing I'll say is we often see an overlap in this. I've seen a number of worker cases where the employer is exploiting immigrants and will sometimes not pay them and will use the fact that they may not have proper documentation to be in the country to pay them and will hold that over their head. So again, to go back to what you said, we're not asking about the status. It's not going to affect a case, but really fundamentally important, right? This is basic to our economy, honest dollar for honest day's work. And so those who are paying people criminally low wages, those are people who are paying people no wages at all. We've seen those cases as well. This is very, very important. The last, example, the one you just mentioned, very important case, and we do a lot of that. We are doing a lot of investigations now. That one was, for stealing more than $1.7 million from workers who work on a, public school and NYCHA projects. But it can be any type of project, can be any industry. We want to know about it. And you asked before, what are some telltale signs? Well, people are paying a very, very low wage. That's something that we want to hear about. Sometimes people are paid and then asked to pay part of their salary back, off the books. And so they're kind of, your employer is paying you and asking for some of it back. Well, then you didn't really get that money, right? Mm-hmm. We've got a minimum wage of $15, and that I would say, if you're making below that, that's something you reach out to us. And it's just some very, very important work. We cannot have, an economy that grows and works properly that does not value and prioritize those who do the work. So employers who are not paying the proper wage and violating the law, falsifying documents, unemployment insurance fraud, workers' compensation fraud, we see all of that, and we're enforcing those laws.
Okay, so if one suspects they have been defrauded, is there a special number? What is the process to get restitution?
So we have a unit that is focused on that, and I would encourage people to go to our website, literally just Google Manhattan District Attorney, go to our website, manhattanda.org, and then we'll tell you how to contact us. And the people who've been doing this work have deep expertise. I just met with them yesterday and got a briefing on cases they're doing. We've done a lot of work in the construction industry, and we are now branching out into other industries. So whatever the industry is, whatever the type of work it is, if you feel you're being defrauded, not being paid a legal wage, reach out and our folks will work with you.
Okay, excellent. So DA Bragg, as the district attorney for Manhattan, what words of advice, words of wisdom for our audience?
I don't presume to have general words of wisdom. I would love to hear words of wisdom from your listeners, and I want to hear from them about their concerns, what is on their minds, what we can be doing better. And so my biggest word of wisdom is I want to listen. So I would encourage others to do that as well. And we're here to listen, and we work for you. We are public servants. And so we've highlighted some of the areas that we've heard from others are important and are important to me from my life's experience, gun enforcement and accountability and gun violence prevention, worker, we talk about wages. I would also talk about worker safety jobs too. Some workers are putting can be put in criminally unsafe positions. We want to prevent that, and we want to hold the people who do that accountable, and then the immigration fraud. But there may be others, and so I encourage people to contact us and reach out about what they think we should be focusing on.
So let me rephrase the question a bit. What is your pledge as district attorney to the people?
Well, my pledge is to continue what we've been doing. And so I'm very encouraged by the fact that in Manhattan, gun violence and homicides are down year-to-date compared to last year. So we're going to keep on doing the gun enforcement work. We're going to keep on investing in our communities. And so our pledge is to, as you open it, with justice for all. And not just, you know, the kind of cases that have traditionally been brought, but also cases that uplift and touch upon people who have sometimes, I shouldn't say sometimes, historically been marginalized. So our workers, we haven't talked about any of our housing work that we're looking at, our tenants. So using the law to, the criminal law to uplift. So my pledge is to keep on doing what we've been doing. We've seen very encouraging results from the first 9 months, but we know that there's a lot more work to do. So we're going to keep on pressing on.
Okay, so thank you so much, D.A. Bragg. You are doing excellent work, and you have our full support here. Feel welcome anytime to come back. We'd love to have you back.
All right, I'm going to hold you to it.
You better do.
I appreciate it. You got me out here in Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah, I got you here in Brooklyn. Thank you so much. It was
thank
an
you.
Honor and a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. The honor was all mine. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.